This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Wednesday, November 20, 2013. I'm Michael Libby, and for the next hour, we'll sift through the business news of the day, check the stock markets and the commodity closing prices. We'll also make welcome some in-studio guests to talk business. Coming up this half hour, we welcome the new communication officer for the City of Johnston. Emily Price is no stranger to broadcast studios, having moved from KCCI to her current role in Johnston, and we'll talk about it. Then next half hour, we're talking startups and pop-ups with Courtney Tompkins of Pop-Up Parties. It seems that pop-ups are everything the rage, and some inventive people got together, pooled their resources, and came up with an idea of pop-up parties. What is it? How does it work, and how can you get a pop-up party for your home or business? We'll find out together with Courtney Tompkins. We'll check the top business stories of the day right after we learn about the weather and the traffic. Thanks for letting us ride home with you. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. When we come back, we'll be joined by Emily and Dave from the City of Johnston. We'll be talking economic growth and marketing Johnston style. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Buying, selling, or starting a business requires skilled legal assistance from the formation of a company to mergers, acquisitions, and succession planning. The Creamer Law Firm draws on its decades of experience in business law to meet your needs. Besides having been recognized as the Small Business of the Year, the Creamer Law Firm maintains the highest peer review rating from Martindale Hubbell, an international lawyer review service. To schedule an appointment, contact the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines at creamerlaw.com. Creamer Law Firm, we get things done.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, Home Loans Made Easy. And Merit Resources, where they carry your employees' backpack.
16 and a half minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. Thanks so very much for joining us. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We monitor Twitter before, during, and after each broadcast. You can reach us at IOB_NewsHour. That's at IOB_NewsHour. And if you've got a news story for us, send it along. You can do that via email, iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. Back in September, the Johnston City Council approved a major project that's sure to transform the entrance to the city. It's called the Merle Hay Road Redevelopment Plan. Johnston joins other metro communities in extending their brand by streetscapes and more. We've already talked about several communities within the metro that have or are spending millions of dollars to boost up their image in highly trafficked areas. With us to talk about this today is Emily Price, the Johnston Public Information Officer, and Dave Wilwerding, the community development director. Dave, how badly did I murder
that?
Right. I got it about right. Have you ever thought about maybe going by David Jones?
Got to be unique.
Got it. Yeah. Well, that's. Well, let me try that again. Wilwerding.
Got it.
All right. Thanks. It's the nerves. And Emily Price. Emily's no stranger to the broadcast world. Congratulations on your new gig.
Thank you.
Well, this has got to be exciting. Regular hours.
Yes. Home at night with my
family,
husband and
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, that's got to be, that's outstanding. It really is. Congratulations to a forward-thinking community like Johnston for recognizing the necessity of putting somebody in charge of handling communications. Now, it's interesting, I think, that Johnston's a community of what, about 17,000?
Yep.
And they've gone ahead and done this. And I think what that says to me is that you guys are planning on doing some big things in Johnston in the future and you wanted to get the word out. Is that relatively accurate?
I think so, definitely. I have found them to be very forward-thinking. The only other metro city that has someone like me right now, mm-hmm. Ankeny and Des Moines.
Right.
I was really surprised to learn as I went through this process that no other city has someone like me.
Believe me, and we have recommended that to several other communities here about talking about someone in charge of the messaging, because that's so critically important when you're doing economic development. And, you know, people go,
yeah.
Well, okay, fine. So let's talk about this project. This is called
the Merle Hay Road redevelopment plan. And I've seen the video. And by the way, you know, that's another thing that that Emily brings to the table here is the ability to gather lots of good people together and then create wonderful videos, informative pieces that then the public can say, oh, that's what this is about. And not very long, but just succinct and purposeful. So, Dave, let's talk a little bit about this project. It's got a big price tag to it.
It does. This is our gateway into the community. It's, you know, along Merle Hay Road, roughly from the Interstate 3580 north to Northwest 55th, so about a half mile. And it encompasses about 123 acres in total. And we've got a lot of natural resources. About half of that area is in floodplain, so we have natural resources that we want to protect. And we just have an area that is in need of some investment. And so as we talk to developers around the community, no one, you know, was really sort of biting on looking at redevelopment or development in the corridor. And what we wanted to do was create a vision and really get something that the community could get excited about and get something that, you know, we could support with incentives and really to just kind of get the ball rolling in this corridor. So,
well, when we talk about this corridor enhancement, that's a really polite, low-key way of saying this is really an absolute redo. We're talking about a little canal, and we're talking about shops, and we're talking about a new hotel. All this is huge, Emily. How's all this going to come together? How many phases do you think?
Well, in all, that you'll start seeing immediate improvements. In fact, a home has already been torn down along Merle Hay Road as part of the Lithia improvements there. So you start seeing things right away, but it really is a 20, 25 years, perhaps, before it's all complete and completely different than what it looks like
Make
right
sure
now.
Make sure you get a retirement home over there.
So
we could all live there after all this is done. We're talking about this whole redevelopment project going on in Johnston, as you head over into Johnston under, 3580 and in the Merle Hay Road area. That's going to stand, and I'm not throwing darts or stones or anything, but this redevelopment thing is going to stand in stark contrast to what's on the south side of 3580, which used to be known as the Merle Hay Auto Mile, but it's now becoming, I think, the Merle Hay Quarter Auto Mile, quarter mile of an auto, as things transition through there. And I suspect that there's going to be some changes on that side of the street as well. I don't know, but I would suspect one thing happens to another. The Ingersoll neighborhood is being redone. Clive just went through a big thing over on 86th Street. Many of these communities are seeing the value in Beaverdale, in redoing this. Other than aesthetics, what does this do for Johnston, Dave?
Well, this is really an exciting opportunity to get some redevelopment and to tie that into the natural resources that are there. Beaver Creek flows through the area. We have an existing, very heavily used bike trail. If you're on that bike trail, you're on the creek right now, you go right by this site and you can't get into the site. You don't even know you're going by the site. And so the plan really talks about opening that up and really connecting the developable areas, the new residential areas, the new commercial areas, and connecting them to those natural resources. And taking advantage of some of that floodplain for some park uses as well. So part of the plan is a pretty large community park, which we're really excited about sort of capturing and having some usable space in that floodplain area that can really draw people to nature.
Emily, Johnston's got some unique demographics at the same time, don't you? Can you run through some of the, do you have them off the top of your head? Your median income is relatively large.
Yes, we have the second highest median income of metro cities. I think we are really close behind Clive being the highest average median income. We also have, I believe, the highest educated population of metro cities.
You mean they've been to the schooling?
they've been schooled, yes.
In the finer points of things, yeah.
One other thing that is interesting about Johnston is that during this recession that hit everyone so hard, our median home values actually grew. I think it was from $239,000 to $242,000 during that awful recession. So we really weathered it well.
Well, you know, you're now taking a page of history or a page from Johnston down in Kansas City area. You know, Johnston County, it is the supposedly the most lucrative county in all of the area. And so Johnston and Johnston, why not?
You know,
pretty soon you can make baby powder.
That's right.
That was really, really bad. Economic development. We're seeing some interesting things change here. And Dave pointed to you about this, is that it used to be that economic development was something that the state did or a region did. Now what we're seeing is a heavy emphasis on local governments, local communities doing a vast amount of economic development. In Urbandale, for example, they hired a full-time economic development director. And we're seeing this really start to concentrate to the city. Why is that? Are there things that you can do that the state can't do or the county or the region?
Well, I think it's still an effort that it takes all of us. You know, we work closely with the Greater Des Moines Partnership and their efforts. And a lot of the state financing requirements or economic development incentives require a local match or a local investment of some sort. And so what we're seeing at our level is we need to be a partner in that. And so when our companies want to invest and they want to take advantage of certain programs, we have to also be investing in that. And so, our primary mechanism for local governments is the tax increment financing, which is available in this area and something that we believe will be an incredible tool. You know, we've also looked, as we've done this planning, at other mechanisms as well. The challenge here is we're not starting with a greenfield. We're starting with
a lot there,
and it costs incrementally that much more when you've got to take care of removing buildings or redeveloping properties or taking out utilities and those kind of things. And so we have to be involved as a community. If we want to carry our vision forward, we have to have an investment in it. And so what our plan really does is help, one, create the vision, and then, two, help us prioritize how we will make investments so we can make strategic investments and, see the plan come to life over a period of time.
Emily, was there public input in all of this, or is this something that was rolled out top-down or sideways, or how did this come together?
There is definitely a lot of public input. That happened all before I got there. Dave might be able to speak better on
There was a series of sort of design charrettes that we did with, and you know, we met with lots of folks. What's different here, a lot of times we do our planning, we have a lot of residents that live in the area we're planning for. In this particular area, it's very commercial,
exactly.
And there's virtually no one living there. And so we did a community open house that was very well attended. We met with all the property owners. We reached out to the development community and the real estate community, really sort of generating feedback. You're out selling property all across the metro. Why isn't something happening here? And we got just incredible feedback on ideas, suggestions, and that really focused us down into sort of our vision plan that came together of what that area could look like.
Dave and Emily, they're from the city of Johnston. What we're talking about is this redevelopment plan along Merle Hay Road. When it comes to the recent law that was signed and that was passed in the legislature and also signed, we're taking a look at reduced property taxes for not only commercial but also residential. And while the state says they're going to backfill that, Dave, there's also an issue of how much and how long. I've seen other indicators that say, hey, look, this might work for the first 3 or 4 years, but after that we get a little skinny. Something like this helps – really the tax base for you, because you're looking at a huge commercial redevelopment for an area.
We are. Right now, the area in total, the 123 acres, has an assessed value of about $22 million.
Mm-hmm.
We've just done some very conceptual penciling out, and we're estimating we could see as high as a $75 million taxable value, so really a $50 million increase. And it's that kind of growth that we really need to have in our community to keep providing the services.
Well, sustain, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Because in this time period, Emily, you're not going to be stagnant. People are going to continue to move into the area, or we would hope, and that's going to fuel more individuals, more building, more housing, more, and why not draw some of the folks from the other side of 3580?
One of the things that I find so interesting about this as I've been looking into their vision and what they planned for this area is to me, it is unlike anything else in the metro, where they talk about a place coming in, a retailer like REI, where you could potentially say, I'm looking at that kayak, I'm looking at that canoe, I'm going to go test it out in Beaver Creek. You can actually test it out.
Yeah.
Or, maybe head up to Sail River Lake and figure out if this is what you want to purchase. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, what is very nice about that, and that, I think, is a striking feature of this, and you've hit it so wonderfully because it is taking the natural resources that you already have that's kind of been sitting there and then maximizing it for not only tourism but also a retail and simple enjoyment for all the people of the metro. Mm-hmm. Nice idea. Mm-hmm. And what was the price tag? Any idea?
Well, it'll be hard to say.
It's a moving target.
It'll be a public-private partnership.
Right.
So, you know, it really the overall price tag really depends on the type of, you know, developers that come in, and obviously we'll be, you know, contributing through some sort of incentives as well. So it's going to be a moving target.
Well, thanks. Thanks for coming in and talking about this. I think this is really stellar. And again, we've talked about the Ingersoll Grand redevelopment. We've talked about the Beaverdale neighborhood and what they're doing. We've talked about the Clive neighborhood and what's going on there. And, of course, the beautiful metro downtown area that continues to just thrill people, you know, with the new sculpture across the street at the Sculpture Park. And, yeah, it's just a great time to be living, working, and playing in the city of Des Moines.
Isn't it, though? I grew up in Florida, and I am here, and I don't want to leave.
Yeah, Florida, well, they only have two seasons.
That's right. That,
right? You know, we're going to get snow this weekend, I think is what they're saying. Thanks so very much for coming in. We're going to make room for the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, the commodity numbers, as well as the weather and the traffic on this cloudy Wednesday evening. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. $0.01 down at $93.33. December gold down $15.50 at $12.58 even. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down a little more than 66 points at $15.90. When we come back, we're going to pop up a party with Courtney Tompkins. Lots of fun stuff when we talk about fun startups. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
Inside of Business, the NewsHour comes from RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the Des Moines Metro, the Fireplace Superstore where comfort and good looks happen, and the Computer Club. You want your computer to work, and they can help.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour, 5:39, 21 minutes now before the top of the hour. It looked like a 34 there for a second. A programming note, we don't get to be here live next Thursday and Friday. Our technical director, Dustin Halderson, is going to Jamaica or someplace and having some fun. And so he's not going to be here, which means, of course, I can't be here because I can't push buttons and talk at the same time. So we're going to be taking Thanksgiving Day and the day after Thanksgiving off. However, that doesn't mean that we're going to leave you in the lurch. We have got some exciting things planned for you. Let me give you a couple of tips. One of the things that we've done is we had a conversation with several of the Iowa Wild American Hockey League players the other day, asking them about Thanksgiving and what they were going to do. So they're going to talk about that. The voice of the Iowa Wild, Joe O'Donnell, is talking a little bit about his work in hockey. And we also have a unique story because there is something very unique happening on Thursday, and it doesn't happen again for 70,000 years. And what is that? Well, it is not only Thanksgiving Day, but at nightfall, it is the first day of Hanukkah. And that existence doesn't happen again. That confluence of those two events doesn't happen again for 70,000 years. So we thought we'd take advantage of it and tell you a little bit about why those two holidays are similar and why they're also different. You know, when new startups happen, we really enjoy talking about them and getting people excited about them, and especially when they're fun startups. And I guess maybe every startup is sort of fun. Courtney Tompkins in studio with us. She is with DSM Pop-Up Parties, and this is a brand new adventure, and it's an amalgamation of several very talented people who have come together to make parties affordable and fun and much better, a way to say, hey, thank you, and have a good time with your employees. Welcome to the NewsHour. Good
Thanks
to see
for
you.
Having me, Michael.
All right. Well, right. Yeah, just kind of, you kind of have to eat it. These are old microphones, kind of like me, old microphones. Tell us, what in the world got you guys together on this really unique idea of, I mean, pop-up things are really the rage right now. And so where was the genesis of this?
Well, it was a combination of a couple things. We were sitting around having our mini networking group, a couple entrepreneurs and I. We were talking about, A, how cool the pop-ups are that are popular in Des Moines right now. There's pop-up shops. There's pop-up eateries. It's, you know, it's hip and happening here in Des Moines. Then the similar conversation we had was how hard it is for a small business to have a holiday party and really thank their employees and clients. So after we mulled this over, at the next morning, we had an aha moment and said, well, let's figure out how to combine these. Let's do pop-up parties. And so we'll make it easy for small businesses and people just to have a holiday party to thank and celebrate appropriately on a budget.
And what's really cool about this is one person, not just one person, has control of all this stuff. You've got multiple people involved in this, each with their own abilities and specialization. So
yep.
Let's roll down through who those people are
all
and what they do.
All of us that were at the table when this idea was born are involved. Yes. So I am Just Courtney Productions is my day job. I have marketing and design services. Ryan Colder, who does promotion and events with On the Spot. Tara Dudley with Plant Life Designs is doing the decor as far as live greeneries. And then Gina Kramer is from Make It Happen Events, and she's doing the event decor and planning. And then Andrea Hansen with VenueFox.com is involved because she's good at vendor management and understands who in town we needed to work with.
Yeah.
So that's the team, the core of us that are making it happen. And then we have great vendors that we've partnered with. So when you come to me and want to do a party for our holiday parties, I have people that I can go to for the food, and I have people to go to for desserts, and I have musicians and magicians and comedians to reach out to. So you don't have to do all that work. I do all that work for you and pop up your party.
You
show up and enjoy, and we do all the setup and cleanup and everything.
And is that the attraction? Because, as you know, most businesses, you know, they're busy doing business and saying appreciation parties or things like that, holiday party, whatever it happens to be. It's a big budgetary item sometimes, and other times it just kind of rushed into it. Okay, let's go to the local restaurant. We'll sit down there. And
yeah, our pop-up parties for the holidays are more reasonable than a lot of options. They're nicer than a lot of options, because if you think your employees at a dinner table in the middle of a restaurant, you just feel like everybody else. So if you have a venue and an actual location and party, it's a little nicer than that. And it's also, by doing it with us, it's more affordable than renting out a whole venue, renting the furniture, renting the linens, renting all the decor yourself. Most businesses can't do that unless they have a lot of employees. And then, yes, of course, it's a time saver because we do all the work for you. A lot of people that are the ones planning the company party are also the ones that are working, and they don't have time to do this. So it either ends up haphazard and isn't an appropriate way to celebrate their employees and clients, or it ends up just a time suck.
Yeah. Well put, a time suck. Yeah. DSM pop-up parties. Where do folks find out about all of this?
DSMpopupparties.com. Or look for us on Facebook, DSM Pop-Up Parties.
Yeah, they had to get inventive there,
yes, didn't you? Yes, yes. So just trying to make it really easy for people to find us. Go to our website. You can email me at dsmpopupparties@gmail.com. Go to our website, dsmpopupparties.com, and get information, or email me from there. And just tell me what you're thinking for your party, lunch, dinner, cocktail-style party, even a breakfast party, whatever you're thinking and how many people. We'll tell you what dates we have available still.
So what's been most popular as you've talked to people? Has it been, I suspect, the holiday parties, but also, I would think as you get past the holidays and we're in the first quarter, you know, you got Valentine's Day coming up. You've got, and I would imagine you do this not only for businesses, but also individuals at their homes.
It can definitely be individuals. If it's your turn to host the family Christmas party this year and you don't want to do the work, you can do our Cheers to the Holidays party. We do the work. It's cost affordable and it's fun. Your house doesn't have to be cleaned. But yes, the Cheers to the Holidays is our first go round. And so that's December 3rd through the 15th. We have a venue booked. We have those dates available. It's a limited time opportunity.
Oh, so people will come to you.
Yep. We have everything set up there.
Oh.
We have a venue that's dedicated to the parties, that is decorated for these parties. And so after we get through the holiday parties, then yes, we'll decide where we want to pop up next. We'll have different locations in town. We'll have different themes, holiday, different thematic parties.
Was it difficult finding a venue?
actually, everyone we've talked to is really excited about this. And so we were lucky enough. Amy Allen Photography said that we could use her studio this time because she's not super busy in December with photography. So she has a great studio in the East Village, bare exposed brick and hardwood floors. And so we are taking over that space for those 2 weeks in December. And those are the dates that are available to book the holiday parties.
So people can go ahead and go online, see what dates are available, and go ahead and book that holiday party. How many people can you fit in the facility?
We can do parties from 10 people to 50.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So a small,
so
intimate
small business,
party.
Yep. Yeah.
It's perfect for a small business.
And what a great opportunity. You know, you don't end up renting someplace that's sterile, and you don't, and yeah, and you've got professionals that are all professional in these mm-hmm. specific areas. And
yep.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
So we do everything from we provide you an invitation to email out to your guests. We, you know, we provide the decor. We're going to book the vendors. We're going to play the music. Whatever you need done for your party, you don't worry because we have it taken care of.
So in other words, you don't have to do that all on your own or mm-hmm. pay a lot of people to come in and clean the house and make sure that everything is shipshape. You can go to another location. And I suspect, knowing the people that are involved in this, the decor is going to be pretty stunning.
It is going to be fabulous. And you can get a sneak peek this week because East Village Holiday Promenade right. is Friday night, and we are set up in that space. It's 500 East 6th Avenue, Suite 300. We're set up and starting to decorate, and we'll have cocoa and cookies so people can come in and take a look at what's about to be the hottest holiday party.
I will have to share that with my bride. She wanted me to go to that.
It's so fun.
Night.
That's a great event.
I know, but there's also a hockey game on Friday night.
Hockey will come again. East Village Holiday Promenades once a year.
Hockey or East Village Holiday Promenade.
Fireworks, cookie, and hot chocolate. How can you beat
puck
that?
Puck drops, it's 7:05.
Well, you can come to the promenade
exactly.
first.
Exactly.
Yes.
There you go. Courtney Tompkins in studio. We're talking about DSM pop-up parties, and it sounds like a really great solution to lots of people's issues when they're trying to figure out what to do. How's Ryan these days?
Is Ryan's good. Keep him busy. Yep.
Yeah. You know, we were so blessed. Ryan was one of our first guests, and he came in, and Andrea Hansen's been in.
Yep.
It's like old.
You
high.
Know our team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody comes in one time or another, crosses our path here at Insight on Business. Well, thanks for coming in and talking about this. It sounds like it's a lot of fun. It sounds like it's cost effective, and it sounds like, golly, I should do this.
You should do this.
I should do, yeah.
Book a party.
I have a Hanukkah party.
That's right. We can do it.
There you go. You have to change out the
it's
Christmas
all
trees.
Twinkle lights
oh,
and
there you go.
Black linens. We can
make it
customize it.
All right. Just Courtney. You can find her on Twitter at Just Courtney, or you can go ahead and talk to her through DSM pop-up parties. Thanks for coming in and talking about this.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
We will try to do that. When we come back, we've got some more stories from the Des Moines Metro, things that you need to know as we continue Insight on Business, the NewsHour. Not too very long ago, there was a study that was done that indicated that those companies that had how-to videos or videos explainer videos turned the conversion rate on their website from a mere 8% to over 20%. So let's talk about that for just a second. If you're converting, if in other words, if you're selling something on your site and 100 people come to your site and you convert 8% of that, that's 8 people that are going to buy something from you. Because why are they not buying? Why are they not buying your product or service? Maybe they don't understand it all. And you can do that with an explainer video. And what happened in this study was this corporation put up an explainer video, and then they started to track what was happening with the conversion. The conversion rate went from 8% to over 20%. So every 100 people now that were coming by the site, they converted 20 or 21 of those individuals to buyers. Now, that's a big difference. If you've got 8% or 21%, it's a huge number when we're talking about dollars and sales. So if you've got a business or if you've got a product or a service for your business that's sometimes not very easily understood, getting an explainer video, and it can be done in a number of ways, getting an explainer video on your website that's fast, it's fun, and it's interesting will help, apparently, move that conversion rate from a mere single-digit number into the double digits. And isn't that what you really want to do in the first place? They're called explainer videos. And again, you can do them with live actors. You can do them with individual slides, all kinds of different things. But we think that that's really incredible. Now, the key to a good explainer video is that it has to be at least a bit entertaining. You know, you can't go ahead and do an explainer video with somebody just looking into the camera and doing it dry. It's got to be something that's fun and unique. And why I'm talking about this is the city of Johnston, to talk about their redevelopment project where we had Emily and Dave in the first half hour of the news hour, that's exactly what they did. They put up an explainer video, and it didn't cost an arm and a leg to get this done, but they did an explainer video. And of course, Emily Price is a well-known and very talented TV personality. So she voiced the thing and also was in the explainer video. And it's remarkable how people then can see what's going on. And so if you're a citizen of Johnston, if you're a citizen wherever, and so it doesn't only work for people who are trying to sell a product or service, it can work for a cause, if you will, such as what's going on in Johnston. Explainer videos. They're not expensive, but they do pay off. It is a real investment in what's going on in your business. Explainer videos. If you need one, or if you'd like to talk more about that, that's one of the things that we do at Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications. Give us a shout. We'll at least talk to you about what an explainer video is and how they work. Thanks so very much for being here with us today. It's been a pleasure. I hope that you enjoyed the time with Emily and with David and also Courtney talking about startups and new things that are going on in the Metro. We get to do this each and every day, Monday through Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. with Insight on Business, the News Hour. If you've got a story for us, you've got a business out there, you know somebody that's got a business and there's something really unique going on, let us know. All you have to do is send us that email. It's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. That's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook as well. I think we just garnered another 5 or 6 friends just over the last couple of days. I think they were from the Women Who Wine, which we had Rachel Fumero in yesterday. That was a lot of fun. Thanks again for being with us. For all of us associated with Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, thanks you all very much. Our technical director, Dustin Halderson, the IOB voice, Jimmy Olson, our Des Moines Radio Group liaison, Mary Sayer. I'm Michael Libby. Thanks for listening. Be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.